Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church. We are located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here for a Monday, August 15th, 2022. This is edition number 37 of season 5 of the Morning Devotional. We are going through the book of Genesis and we come to chapter 37 and a shift in the narrative somewhat. Now beginning to look at the life of Joseph from this point to the conclusion of the book of Genesis. Let's pray first, and then we'll consider this chapter together briefly this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we come knowing that you have granted it to us, that it might help us, inform us, strengthen us, that it might impart wisdom to us as we read it, as we think on these things. We ask that you would bless this brief time, that it would be useful for your people and for whoever hears these things. We ask that you'd forgive us for our transgressions, our sins, that you'd cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that you'd grant us more of your Spirit, even as we consider these matters in your word this morning. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, Genesis 37 really highlights two fundamental matters. All of it is introductory to the life of Joseph and the events that are going to take place beginning in earnest in chapter 39, right through to the end of the book of Genesis. We first note in Genesis 37 that Jacob loves Joseph greatly. He loves him so much, he gives him a gift. He gives him this coat of many colors. Many of you as children probably remember the story of Joseph and have memory of that very event. And so he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that the father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. He could not speak peacefully to him. So there's this dissension that arises within the home of Jacob because of probably the unwise actions of Jacob in placing an extreme favor and love upon this one son. We know that he is loved more than any of the others because, as the text tells us, he was the son of his old age. And so we have this problem, we have this dilemma, and it's not really resolved until we get to the end of Genesis. And as a result of this, okay, this favor that God Jacob places on Joseph, we see that God also grants to Joseph a gift by which he is able to interpret dreams. Two specific dreams that Joseph interprets that he has and then interprets for his brothers in front of his father and his brothers. Again, probably not the wisest thing to do, but he does it nonetheless. And in both these dreams, it highlights that which will take place at some point in the future in Joseph's life. And if you know the life of Joseph, you know very well what I'm speaking about as it pertains to Joseph and his brothers. But the dream, in essence, these two dreams point to the reality that he will rule over his brothers. He will rule over his own father. This, of course, does not make matters any better between Joseph and his brothers. And so we come to the third issue within the chapter, and that his brothers conspire against him. First, they want to kill him, but he is spared that effort by one of his brothers. Talks the rest of the siblings out of that action. Instead, they throw him in a pit. They conspire to show Jacob that he was slain by an animal, that he was attacked, and they sell him into slavery to traders that are on their way to Egypt. And so the chapter ends with Joseph working as a servant, as a slave to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Now, there are some things, of course, that we can highlight here that clearly some of the actions of Jacob and Joseph certainly can be questioned as to their wisdom, as to how they were done. But the main thing to dwell on and think on here is that, like his father, like Jacob, Joseph is hated by his own brothers. And like Jacob, Joseph goes into exile. He leaves his home against his own will. His brothers conspire against him and they sell him into bondage into Egypt. And so he is there as an exile. He is a Hebrew among Egyptians, and he is there to labor for this high-ranking official within the Egyptian government, the Egyptian army. All of this, of course, is highlighting for us the providential working of God. Because we know the rest of the story, we know that this is the means by which God works to get Joseph in a position of authority and power that he might preserve a people. And, of course, it comes through the difficulties of one's life. And this is only the beginning of the struggles that Joseph is going to have for the next little while. And oftentimes that's the case for us. We don't always know what God is doing in our lives and how he's providentially working through difficulties and circumstances, but we must trust him that he knows what he's doing and he's going to bring a positive, he's going to bring a good outcome to the things that he sets forth to do. And while Joseph certainly probably undoubtedly was not very happy with the idea of being thrown into a pit, sold to Midianite traders, forced to leave his own home in exile, to live in a land of that is foreign to him entirely, a land of which he knows no one, God was still with him. And we're going to see that theme come forward more so when we get to chapter 39. And God, too, with us, he is with us when we go through these difficulties in our lives as well. Well, I trust these times are helpful. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. You can contact me by the means that are there before you on the screen. And so until the Tuesday edition, when we look at a very odd chapter, one that interrupts really the narrative, in some sense at least, interrupts the narrative from chapter 37 to 39, may the Lord bless you today, and may you serve him. God bless.